We're holding on Tzadik Zayin on the days by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Hamafrish Nekevel Pischoy. If a person designated a female animal as his Korban Pesach, and we know the Torah tells us that the Korban Pesach has to be a male. I once heard, by the way, a story where I think it was Rav Hirschsprung, Olav HaShalom, was one time for hiring a bacher for smicha, and he asks him as a side thing, what would be the din? We know that the various korbanos, you have the vlad of the korban, that the baby of the korban has certain dinim. What would be the din with the vlad of a pesach? So the bacher is thinking about this possibility and the other possibility and whatever, until finally Rav Hirschsprung tells him, shoite zacher ben shana. The pasuk says it's a male, it can't have vlad. Anyway, so here what we have is a person designated a female animal as his korban pesach. Or it was a male, but it was in its second year. And that's also no good. The korban pesach, the pasuk says, has to be an animal in its first year. So either way then, yira achi istoiv. So again, we have to leave the animal to graze until it develops a mum. The macher, and then you sell it. The yiflo domov, the nedava l'shlom. The value of it goes to nedava to shlomim. Now, what does that mean? Nedava and shlomim are two separate things. Nedava means you have the six boxes, the six pushkas in the Bis Mikdash that are labeled nedava, where money from, in particular, for example, a person was supposed to bring a chatas and has money left over. A person was supposed to bring an osham and has money that was left over. You have the various cases that we discussed yesterday of a chatas that has to be left to graze until it develops a mum. That money goes into those boxes, and ultimately they're used to buy oilos for kaitz and mizbeach, for korbanos during quiet times when the Bis Mikdash is when the mizbeach is otherwise not being used for korbanos. Then you have kaitz and mizbeach. Shlomim would be just that. The person brings a shlomim. The girsa that Rashi and Tosfos have over here is that the animal itself is brought, not the animal itself. The money that is used from selling this animal will go for a shlomim. So in other words, they don't have the word l'nedava. They don't have the word l'nedava in their girsa. On the other hand, the printed Mishnayos do have the word l'nedava, and the Rambam in Pirusha Mishnayos has that also, and he explains what it means is that it goes to the nedava boxes in the Bis Mikdash. The girsa that we have in front of us, the nedava l'shlomim, is apparently somebody mistakenly combined together the two different girsas, and it comes out, but that's not correct. There's no such thing as the nedava l'shlomim. It's one or the other. So Rashi and Tosfos both understand that what it means is that the money is going to go to buy a shlomim. The person himself is going to use the money to buy a shlomim. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos understands that it means that the money is going to go into the nedava boxes. In Yad HaChazaka, though, he paskins like Rashi and Tosfos and like that it just goes l'shlomim. So I guess he changed his mind from when he wrote Pirush HaMishnayos until he wrote Yad HaChazaka. Anyway, the point is, we're saying that as soon as you designated this animal, and obviously it can't be brought to the Korban Pesach, then it's considered nidche. It's already considered that it was pushed off. Therefore, the animal itself cannot be brought as a shlomim. Only the value of it can be brought as a shlomim. Tosfos actually says, if this happened, if it develops a mum before Pesach, then you can use the money to buy a Korban Pesach. But either way, the animal itself obviously you can't use as a Pesach, because it's not the right, it's the wrong gender or the wrong age. So before Pesach, Tosfos says you could use it for a Pesach, but if it's left after Pesach, then again, because it's nidcha, therefore you can't use it itself as a shlomim, therefore you can only use the value of it for a shlomim. Another case, hamafrish pischoy v'mes, if a person designated his animal for a korban Pesach, and then he died. Now, the problem is, the assumption we're talking about over here is that he was the only, that if at this point, he was the only one registered for that Korban Pesach. Now, we've discussed before, and actually I said, so we've discussed before the idea that if a Korban Pesach is left at any time without any owners, without anybody registered for it, then it becomes possible. I've said something wrongly about that in the past. So a couple of days ago, I mentioned that it's only according to Yehuda. That's actually not correct. Everybody agrees that if it's left without an owner at any time, then it becomes, from when it was designated as a Pesach, then it becomes possible. Then it becomes nidcha. The machloikas of Yehuda and the Chachamim, which we're going to have on Amud Beis, has to do with the, or actually we're going to have it really tomorrow on Sadiq Tesam and Aleph, has to do with, do you need any member of the original group to still be registered for it? In other words, so like this, if I have, let's say, an animal that I designated as my Korban Pesach, and I and my family, let's say, we're going to be the ones eating it, Now, if all of us decide that we're going to use a different animal for our Pesach instead, or let's say all of us became Tomei or what have you, and therefore we can't use it. Well, actually, if we all became Tomei, we could do Pesach Sheni. Okay, whatever. Let's say we designated for Pesach Sheni, and then we all became Tomei. So then it itself becomes possible because it's left without any owners at that point. What you have is, so originally I planned to only have my family registered for it. Then later on, I included one of you. Then later on, we all decided to use a different animal for the Korban Pesach, and only you are left. Would that still be valid or not? That's the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, which we're going to discuss tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. But if nobody from the group is left at all, then everybody agrees that it becomes possible. So now, in this case...
So when I say possible, it means that you have to let it...
You have to let it graze. Is that right? Well, so one second. So we're going to, no, not that you have to let it graze, but it's a case of Pesach Shemesu Bailov or whatever, and therefore what happens is it becomes a shlomim instead. So it becomes a shlomim instead. So therefore, so the Mishnah says, Lo yivienu bnoi after l'shem Pesach, his son after him can't bring it as a carbon Pesach, elo l'shem shlomim, rather he has to bring it as a shlomim because now it became posel as a Pesach. Which, by the way, a couple of them Mefarshim asked, why don't we say that the son inherits it from the father? So there's a couple of answers, one of them being that maybe you can't fully inherit a korban. You can have that if a person passed away, in some cases, you can bring the korban, his yoshim can bring the korban after him, but the Gemara discusses in Zvachim that that's not really, they're getting a true kapara from it. It's sort of like this kapara floating around and they can benefit from it, but not that they're actually considered the bialim of it. Another possibility is over here, is what we could be talking about is, let's say, when the father passed away, the son was already registered for a different Korban Pesach. So therefore, even if we say he inherits this one, we can't say that he inherited the registration for it because he's already registered for a different one. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Omer Rav Huna b'Rei de Rav Yeshua, Shema Mina Tlas. From the first din in our Mishnah, again, where the person designated a female animal or a male animal in its second year as a Korban Pesach, and we say it's no good. We say not only the animal itself cannot be brought as a shlomim, but even what we say is the animal, we can only bring the value of it as a shlomim, or as Tosfos says before Pesach, then fine, we can use the value for Pesach. That is, from that we can learn three din. Number one, Shema Mina Balei Chayim Nidchin. Number one, we can see that even living animals can be nidcha. Now you have a machlokas. We're going to mention soon the opinion of Reb Shimon, who says that they can't. And we also have in the Gemara, in a couple of places, you have Rab and Reb Yechanan arguing on that point, whether Balei Chayim Nidchin. We see from this Mishnah that it's not so, or at least we see the Tana of our Mishnah holds that Balei Chayim Nidchin. Because what do we have over here? This animal was nidcha. It was a female animal. You can't bring it as a Pesach. And we're saying you don't say that such an animal that you should be able to bring it itself as a shlomim. After all, as a female, it could be a shlomim. There's no a shlomim can equally well be a male or a female animal. No, we don't say that. We say it was nidcha. Therefore, it itself cannot be brought as a korban. Now, Rashi points out, we actually could have learned that. We don't need our Mishnah for that. We already have the Mishnah on Sadiq Bav Amud Beis that teaches us the same concept. We had a case over there of Tmuras HaPesach. We had a case of a Korban Pesach that was lost and then was found, and we say that it's Nidcha. But the other two dinim that Rav Huna b'Rei de Rav Yeshua is going to mention, we can only learn from our Mishnah. Therefore, Rav Huna b'Rei de Rav Yeshua just mentions all three of them together, even though, in fact, at one of them we could have learned from the previous Mishnah as well. So that's number one. Oshma mina dochui meikra have a dochui. Number two, we see that the concept of dochui applies even to something that was nidcha from the beginning. Now, there is a machloikas about this in Sukkah, about do we say that only when something was originally suitable and then became nidcha, then we say that it's considered nidcha, but maybe if to begin with it was unsuitable, maybe it's not considered nidcha in the first place. So our Mishnah is telling us that not. Because in this case, it's not that this animal was roi and then became not. It was a female. It's a female animal. It was never roi for a korban pesach, and we're saying it's called nidcha. And again, if it wasn't nidcha, we would say we could bring it as a shlomim. So therefore, that shows that even though it was dochei meikra, even though we see to begin with it was unsuitable for the korban, that is considered dochei, and therefore we can't bring it as a shlomim. That's the second thing. Ushmamino yesh dichui b'damim. The third thing we can learn from our Mishnah is that dichui also applies to something which only has kedushas damim. Now, when you think about it, this animal this animal, when you designate it as a Korban Pesach, given that it's unsuitable to bring as a Pesach, so you can't bring it, so it itself never got Drushas Aguf, it only got Drushas Damim. Nevertheless, we see that it's Dohui, we still say that it can never be brought as a Korban. You would think, now, Rashi says, it's not that there's machloikas about that, but the fact is, you would have thought to say, maybe the whole concept of dichui only applies to something that has kedushas aguf, only an animal that was itself designated as a korban, and then, okay, fine, you could talk about whether it was nidcha to begin with or not, but if, let's say, you have here, it was never properly designated as a korban in the first place, because the female and can't be brought to the Pesach. So you would think maybe it shouldn't be considered nidcha. No, we still say that it is. We still say, yesh dichui b'damim, that dichui also applies to an animal that was given kedusha, only kedushas damim, and therefore we say the animal itself can never be brought as a korban. You have to sell it and use the money for another, korban.
But if he replaced it with a different carbon, can he use it as a cover shlom?
So if you apply, what, if he did a tzmura, you mean? If he did a tzmura, then...
Okay, that's where the...
No. If he waits till it develops a mum, then yeah, technically he doesn't have to sell it. Technically, once it develops a mum, he can transfer the kedusha of it onto another animal. He can do chilul. Now, we talked the other day about tmura. That you're not allowed to do, and that's the whole yahu tmura also your kurdish. But instead of tmura, you can do chilul, which is you say, I want to take the kedusha off this animal, and I want to transfer it onto this one. That works. But yeah, only if it's a baal mum. If it's a tamim, you can't do that. But yeah.
How can you say that an animal that was not qualified to begin with is dachui or dichui?
Well, we would have thought that not, because we actually have Rashi refers, you have a machloikas in Sukkah about that point. Maybe it's only considered nidcha if it was at one point suitable, then it became unsuitable. Now, you're going to talk about can it become usable as a korban again, but maybe if it was to begin with not suitable, maybe we would say that's not considered nidcha. So no, our Mishnah is telling us that it is. This explanation that Rashi has over here of this is actually not really from Rashi's Pirush on the Gemara. It's actually from a tshuva of Rashi that was actually inserted into Rashi's Pirush over here. You can see in Rashi on the second line of the widest line, it says Tshuvas Rabbeinu Ad Kan. Tosfos also quotes it as Pirush Rashi the Tshuvasa. Marsha actually brings a different girsa. Marsha brings something that he found the Pirush Rashi Shalapanenu Matsasi, that what it means is that we say that even the money is nidcha, because after all we're saying in the Mishnah you can't use the money towards your Pesach, you can only use it towards a shlomim. So that means it's nidcha even the money is nidcha from being a Pesach. Now, that's not like what Tosfos said. Tosfos had brought from Tosefta that if it's before Pesach, you could use the money towards the Korban Pesach. Rashi, according to what Marsha is bringing in the name of Rashi, then no, then we would say that actually, we would say you can't bring it as a, even the money, not only the animal itself you can't bring as a Pesach, obviously, if it's a female or a two-year-old animal, but even the money of it cannot be used for a Pesach, only for a shlomim. Then Rashi goes on to mention, Rashi says, I wonder, why is it any worse than Moser HaPesach? Where we say Moser HaPesach is brought as Shlomim, so Marsha goes on to say that the question is not really according to this Truva that's inserted here into Rashi, because according to this Truva, you could use the money for the Pesach, you just can't use the animal itself for the Pesach. But according to the explanation that Marsha is bringing from a Rashi that he had in front of him, that even the money can't be used for a Pesach, so then the question would be, why not? Why indeed couldn't you use it for a Pesach? Why indeed couldn't you use that money for the Pesach? Okay. Anyway, but that's what it is. So those are the three dinim that we're learning from our Mishnah. Tosfos asks the question, isn't the second and the third thing the same thing? If you say that it's dochri me'ikra, that it couldn't be brought as a korban, so that means what kind of kedusha did it get kedushas damim? So that's the same thing as yesh dichui b'damim. So what's the difference between the second and the third? So Tosfos says, you can have a case where something is nidcha even though it had kedushas aguf. Namely, Tosfos says, let's say, for example, the korban was brought properly, you shechted the korban properly, now the korban is doing kabbalah. What if the basin that he's collecting the blood in had water in it before?
or spilled.
If it's spilled, then that's not dafke meikra. We want to find a case where the blood to begin with, when it's received in the keli, is already possible. What happens is, let's say there's water in there. So what happens is, as every bit of blood gets in there, it's bottled in the water. Therefore, it's dafke meikra. So it's not a case of gershas damim, it had gershas agof, but it's still dafke meikra. So you see, therefore, that those two things are not the same thing.
That ruins
the carbon, yeah.
Even
though it's shafted good, because the sprinkling wasn't done good, because the Kabbalah was done badly, sure.
There's only two things.
There's four avodas that are active, right? Shkita, Kabbalah, Halacha, and Zrika. Yeah. Okay. Onward. The Gemara continues. We said in the Mishnah, Hamafish Pischei v'chula. If a person, we said, the second case of the Mishnah was a person designated his animal for a carbon Pesach. Then he passed away. So we said his son can't bring it as a Pesach, but he can bring it as a Shlom.
Even though his son was part of the...
So that's what we're saying. So if his son was... So that's the thing. Are we talking about that his son was part, was already part of the carbon Pesach? The Pashtus, then he could bring it as a Pesach. But we have to discuss that. 1 second. Tonanabonon, Hamafish has Pischei v'mes, if he designated his Pesach and then he passed away, im b'noi m'muna imoi, if his son was registered for the korban together with him, yubi enu l'shum Pesach, then he can bring it as the korban Pesach, because, good, the korban Pesach still has an owner. It was never left ownerless for any amount of time. We just said before that if the korban Pesach is ever left without Bailim, then it becomes possible. Everybody agrees to that. Again, machlokes is only, do you need somebody from the original group or not, that we're going to discuss tomorrow. But that it needs to have an owner the whole time, that's definite. Everybody agrees to that. So now it still has an owner. The son was one of the co-owners of it before. Now he's still the owner, so good. So therefore, you can bring it to the place.
But once we do it, we know that one person is not eating the whole carbon.
We'll get to that point soon. Right? Ain b'noy m'muna imoy, if the son was not registered with him, yubienu l'shum shlomim l'shisha also. Then he can only bring it as a shlomim. You can't bring it as a Pesach, you can only bring it as a Shlomim, and only L'Shisha also, only on the 16th of Nisan, which is the first day Chol HaMoed. Meaning, the Gemara says, L'Yudvav Ein L'Tesvav Loi. Evidently, now the Braita is saying that he can only bring it on the 16th, implying not on the 15th. Why? Because Sovereign Adorim and Adorim isn't creating the Yomtiv. Because the Tana of this Braita holds that you can't bring the Dorim and Adavis on Yom Tov, which is a machlokas. We had it briefly in Shabbos. We're going to have it in more detail, Vesta Shem and Masechta Beitza, a few months from now, whether you're allowed to bring the Dorim and Adavis on Yom Tov. You have machlokas with Shabbos with Hillel about it, you have machlokas of other Tanoim about it.
Shabbos
for sure now. But Yom Tov, yeah. Okay. So, now let's figure out. Demis Ha'av Ames. When did the father pass away that we're talking about the son can bring it as a Korban Pesach? Are you saying that the father passed away before Chatzos? What do you mean? What do you mean that if the son was registered with him, he can still bring it as a Pesach? No good. He's already an Oinin from before that. And as an Oinin, that he's not Chayev to bring a Korban Pesach. Now, to be exact, actually, what it is he is Chayev. But here's what you said before about him being registered by himself. We learned previously on Daf Tzadik, Tzadik Aleph, we brought a Mishnah over there that said that an Oinen, you could shech the Korban Pesach for him because that night he'll be able to eat it. It's only that night he's only an Oinen Dirabanan. And Dirabanan, we're going to waive that in order to allow him to eat the Korban Pesach. But we said we can't shech the Korban Pesach for himself. Now, even according to Rabbi Yossi, who says that normally you're allowed to shech the Korban Pesach for one person by himself, nevertheless, we still said ain't shech and alein with ne'atim. You can't shech for them by themselves because it may end up becoming fossil. Rashi had said over there because the onan might end up becoming tummy lames, and then he's not going to be able to eat it. So then it's going to become fossil. The Rambam actually understands it differently. He says he might be so sad that he might not be in the mood for eating it. Whatever the case, the point is. So what are we now? We're saying over here, if the son was registered without mentioning anybody else. So is mashma that only the father and son were registered for it, and now you're saying that the son can bring it as a carbon pesach, but if the son is an oinin, then how can he do that? He can't bring it by himself. He should at least have to have other people with him.
It shouldn't be left on his
own. Right. So you're talking about that the father died after Chatzos. Well, then, so what do you mean? The next part of the Braisa says that if the son wasn't registered with him, then he brings it to the Shlomim. What do you mean? As soon as Chatzos came, it was designated as a Korban Pesach. Now it can't be a Shlomim anymore. We have the case before in the Mishnah, Tzadik Vav Amud Beis, where you lost your animal for a Korban Pesach, for example, and then it turned up. And now comes Chatzos, and you have both animals in front of you. and we're saying that one of the, and we're saying one of them is shechted as a korban pesach and the other one is nivcha. So in other words, any time you have an animal that was to be brought as a korban pesach and chatzos came and it's not being brought as a korban pesach, then it's nivcha. So then, so what do you mean? So what do you mean that he can bring? So what do you mean he brings it as a shlomim? We said over there that you're going to have to leave it until you're going to have to leave it to graze until it develops a mum, and then you use the value of it for a shlomim. So what are we talking about? Did the father die before chatzos or after chatzos? In fact, Tosfos actually points out the first part of the question also, when we say that Aninus is chal on him, the question is not only that Aninus is chal, and therefore, like Rashi says, therefore you can't bring, therefore you could bring the Pesach on his behalf, but only if other people are included, but the Braisa is saying that he brings it as a shlomim, well, he can't bring it as a shlomim while he's an Oinin. An Oinin is not allowed to send his korban to the Besmetash to be brought. Only the korban Pesach, fine, we make an exception, but not, but you other korban is not.
So that's what he said, the 16th you bring.
But well, right. So right. So the question, but the question still is though that we're saying he has to bring it on the 16th only because you can't bring it on Yom Tov. But in other words, the implication is if it weren't for that, you could bring it Erev Pesach. But how if he's an Oyin? By the way, he might not be. I mean, the truth is, if the father died after Chatzos, then you might not be able to bring it as a shlomim anyhow because you can't bring any other korbanos after the Talmud Rabbein Habayim, as we discussed back in the fifth parak. But if he died before Chatzos, you still have time to bring it as a shlomim, but he can't because he's an oinin. So, yeah. So, Amar Rava. So, Rava answers, or Maseres Hashas changes it to Rabba. La'olam de mis kodim Chatzos. Actually, we are talking about that he passed away before, the father passed away before Chatzos. Umayi, the end was from Pesach. So, what do you mean? When you say that the son brings it as a that the son brings it as a Pesach means from Pesach Sheni means okay he's going to bring it as Pesach Sheni a month later.
Why?
Because he can't bring it as Pesach Rishon again because if he gets other people to register with him then fine but if he doesn't get other people to register with him we said you can't check the Korban Pesach for one person by himself when he's an Oinim because it might end up becoming possible because he might become Tamei. So if we can find other people to join with him then good but if not then he brings it as Pesach Sheni.
Aren't we going to assume that when a person buys a chef's, he's not doing it from Talidum, for his family. No one eats a whole animal.
It depends. Maybe one person could by himself, but we had a machlokes before. We had Rabbi Yossi saying that if one person by himself can eat the whole animal, then doesn't behave. He can check it for himself. Okay. Rabbi Hodad disagreed, not so much based on the fact that it might become noiser, but because he said, because of Xerus HaKosim, Lois Suchal is Bayach HaKosim, but Achad. Where he said the word achad means one person, so it means you can't check the Korban Pesach on behalf of one. Not because it may become, just because the Pesach says. According to Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yossi disagrees with that, and says you could check the Korban Pesach on behalf of one person, as long as he can eat the whole thing. Keep in mind, I mean, it's an animal within its first year. It could be only an 8-day-old animal. It may be small enough that one person could polish off the whole thing. You know, I was thinking, by the way, in connection with this week's parasha, you think about it, you have an ayol that's brought as a shlomim every day of the Shiva Sumei Miluim, and Aaron and his four sons have to eat the whole ayol together with a whole basket of matzahs of various kinds. It's only five people. They're going to be able to polish off a whole ayol and a basket of matzahs every day, but apparently, yeah, apparently the Eberstein expected that they could. So I guess the same thing. A baby lamb over there, maybe it's small enough that one person by himself could eat it. I don't know. Anyway, the point is that, so the point is, Rava is saying that what we mean is, he brings it as Pesach Sheni. You're right. By himself, he can't bring it as Pesach Rishon for the reason that we said over there. But Pesach Sheni, he can bring it, because then he won't be an Ovel anymore. Rashi, by the way, mentions another explanation of when we say, so we have Rashi's first explanation of Hochayel Alei Aninus means he could bring the Pesach could be brought on his behalf, but not by himself. We have Tosfos saying that the question was really on the fact that it says he can bring it as a shlomim. How can he bring it as a shlomim when he's an oinin? Rashi has another explanation that when we say he became an oinin means he's not chayev for the korban pesach anymore. Meaning, when we said before that we can shef for the oinin, that would mean when he only became an oinin after chatzos. Here, if we're talking about that his father passed away before chatzos, then b'chlal he has no chiyuv of pesach rishon. Is what the Gemara is asking. So therefore, we would only say, when would we say that we learned before that an Oinin, you could check the Korban Pesach for, only if he already had the chiyuv. Chatzos came, and he wasn't yet an Oinin. Now, after Chatzos, his father passed away, so now we say the Aninus doesn't take away the Chiyuv that he had before. Now we can check for him, and we can eat that evening. But now the Gemara is saying maybe that if he became an Onan before Chatzos, then maybe he can, then maybe he's Potter from Korban Pesach. So that's what Rabbi is answering. You're right, he is Potter, and it means he's bringing Pesach Sheni.
Nothing to do with that. That's
nothing to do with that. He might become Tomei. Just once, according to the second explanation in Ashi, once he became an Onan before the Chiyuv of the Korban Pesach is hal on him, then he's Potter from Pesach Rishon.
The fact that this onion with the bun wouldn't even get him.
Doesn't matter. Onion is to that bun or that ice.
When's onion to the bun kicking?
Only if he, according to that second explanation of Rashi, only if he became an onion after Chatzos. Okay. Abaya Omar, with Zodin Katoni. Abaya says a second explanation of the Braisa. You have to divide up the Braisa into two things. The Braisa is telling us two cases. Mes acha Chatzos, if the father died before Chatzos, then b'noy mamuna imay, then if his son was registered together with him on the Korban Pesach, you'd be end of the shum shlomim, you'd be end of the shum Pesach, then he brings it as a Pesach, because again, then he was an onan, he wasn't an onan when he was chayim in Pesach yet at the beginning, and he's the co-owner of the animal, therefore the animal was never left without violin, therefore you can bring it as a Pesach. That's when we're going to say the rule that we had before, that you can shech the Korban Pesach for an onan.
That's after
Chatzos. When the father died after Chatzos. Mes kodem Chatzos. And if the father died before Chatzos, and ein bnoi memuna imoi, and the son is not memuna together with him, then yivienu l'shum shlomim, then he brings it as a shlomim. Because then comes Chatzos, when it came Chatzos, Abaye is saying it wasn't nikva as a Pesach. So now, we don't have to talk about the case if his son was registered with him. Then, of course, he brings it as Pesach Sheni. The chiddush is of the braisa, even if the chiddush of the braisa is in the first part, when he became chayim at Chatzos, and then only later he become an oinen, then he can still bring it that day as Korban Pesach. He doesn't have to wait for Pesach Sheni. So in other words, Abaye's answer is different than Rava's. Rava's answer was that always what we're saying is that if, well, according to Rava's explanation, actually Rava's and Abaye's explanations are not really that far apart. Rava's explanation was saying that if the father died after Chatzos, so the son was already chayiv in the Korban Pesach, then already what we say is, then we don't, what it is Rava is saying, Rashi explains, we don't apply the rule then that says, that we learned before, that you can't check the Korban Pesach for an onan by himself. Because that reason over there was he might become tomei, and then the Pesach is left without anybody to eat it. But that would only apply if the father had died before Chatzos. If the father dies only after Chatzos, when the son is already chayiv in Korban Pesach, then we expect him to be careful that he's not going to become tamei, and therefore that he'll be able to eat Korban Pesach that night. Therefore, we're going to allow it. That's Rava's answer. Abaya's answer is that no. If the father dies before Chatzos, and if the father dies before Chatzos, and the son wasn't together with him on the Korban Pesach, then we're saying that he brings it as a shlomim. On the other hand, if the son was with him, then he brings it as Pesach Sheni, because being an oinin, he can't bring Pesach Rishon. And if the father died after Chatzos, then already he was chayiv in Pesach first, so now he brings it as a Pesach.
Okay, now I'm confused, because if he's an oinin, why can't he bring it at night?
Again, because we have the problem before that we said that if for an oinin, you can't bring it by himself. But Rava's answer is telling us that if he was already chayiv, if he already was chayiv, namely his father died only after Chatzos, then actually you could bring it on his behalf, as we learned before, but even you could bring it for him even if he's the only person registered for it. Because we expect that he's going to be careful and not become tamei.
Okay, that's
after Chatzos. Abaya is saying somewhat similarly, but he's finding it in the words of the Braisa. If what we're saying is what Zodin Katani, the Braisa is actually telling us two cases. When we say that he died, and we say if his son was registered versus his son wasn't registered, Abaya is understanding that those two cases are talking about before and after Chatzos respectively. Namely, the first case is he died after Chatzos, so now the son already was chayiv in a Korban Pesach, because the owner was also registered with him, therefore you'll be end of the shame Pesach, therefore you can bring it as a Pesach, because there's no problem. The fact that he's an Oinen doesn't prevent us from bringing the Pesach, because again, we said an Oinen, you can bring the Pesach on his behalf. He himself can't go into the Azara, but it can be brought on his behalf by somebody else. The fact that it was never left without any owners, because the son was registered with it. If the father died before Chatzos, then if the father died before Chatzos, well then, if the son was registered for it, then he can't bring it as Pesach Rishon, then he's going to bring it as Pesach Sheni, because the Aninos came before the Chiyuv to bring the Korban Pesach. But if his son was registered with him, so if a son wasn't registered with him, so now the Pesach is left without an owner, and it's before Chatzos, therefore you have to bring it as a Shlomim.
And why can't you? Because before Chatzos, there was no Chiyuv.
Before Chatzos, there was no Chiyuv yet, and the son wasn't registered, so therefore the son wasn't registered for it, so therefore it was left without an owner, therefore it became a Shlomim.
So there seems to be a big difference if it's before Chatzos or after Chatzos.
So far, according to Ravan, according to Abaye, yes. A third answer, Rav Shlevia Omar, Rav Shlevia says a third answer, La'olam de mis achatzos, la'achatzos, we can say that the Braisa is talking about where the father died after Chatzos. So you're asking then in that case, why you bring it as a Shlomim? Why don't you bring it as a Pesach? Oh, Gonshahaya, Obib Goises for Chatzos. The case is that at Chatzos, the father was already Goises. He was already breathing his last breaths. Now, Rav Goises in Lamisa, most people who reach that stage are going to die soon. So therefore, so now, if the son was registered with him, then fine, you still have the chiyuv of Pesach was on him first. But if not, if the son wasn't registered with him, then when it came Chatzos, that was not nikba as a Pesach. Because it couldn't be nikba as a Pesach unless we have a reasonable expectation that the son is going to be able to bring it. And here we don't, because the father is a goises, therefore it becomes a shlom.
When he's a goises, they don't ask him, you know, what should you carbon?
It's not a question. It doesn't matter what he says, what should be with the carbon. His son is going to inherit his property anyway. But if his son was registered for the Pesach with him at that point, then good, then he can bring it as a Pesach. But if not, then there's nothing to be kaveyed at Chatzos. The father is a goises, and Rav goises in Melissa, so we can't shecht it on his behalf because he's not going to be able to eat it that night. He's not going to be alive anymore to eat it that night.
The son can because he wasn't.
The son wasn't registered for it, so therefore there's nothing to be kaveya as a Pesach. Therefore it becomes a shlomim. Rav Ashi gives a fourth answer. La'olam de mis la'acha chatzos. We are talking about the father died after chatzos. Rav Shimon, we would say that this braisa goes according to Rav Shimon. Dama ein balei chayim nidchim. Rav Shimon says, unlike what we said, Rav Huna Breda Rishua at the top of the Amud had learned from our Mishnah that we say balei chayim nidchim, that living animals can be nidcha, and we say an animal is pushed off from being a korban, and that's why we have the case, the person designated a female animal as his Pesach, and we say you don't bring the animal itself as a shlomim, you sell it once it develops a mum and use the money for a shlomim. Rav Shimon, though, holds, ein balei chayim nidchim, living animals are never considered nidcha. Only if they have a mum or their esnan or mechir or whatever, but otherwise you always bring them as the suitable kind of korban. This is suitable to bring as a shlamim. Therefore, you bring it as a shlamim. In other words, what happens is it comes chatzos, it gets established as a korban pesach, but now he can't bring it because his father died and he became an oinen. So, and we said you can't bring the Korban Pesach on behalf of one individual person who's known in. So therefore, what happens is, now it becomes now. So the Chachamim would say Balei Chayim Nidchin. Therefore, it can't be brought as a Shlomim either. You would have to wait till it develops a Mum, etc. But Rav Shimon says, Ein Balei Chayim Nidchin. Fine, you can't bring it as a Pesach. Then it becomes a Shlomim. Ravina gives a fifth answer. Kegoin Shei Frishei Acha Chatzos. The case could be that you designated the animal as a korban after chatzos, umesu bailov after chatzos, and then the owner only died after chatzos also. So now, but the son was registered with him. So now you can bring it as a pesach for kasava chatzos kava. The tana of this braisa holds that it's chatzos, not the whole afternoon, but only the moment of chatzos. That establishes whether it's going to be a korban pesach. At this one, at Chatzos, it wasn't yet designated as a korban pesach, so there's nothing for it to be nidcha from.
It wasn't
designated yet at Chatzos, so there's nothing for it to be nidcha from, because at Chatzos, which is the moment when the question, when it's chal, is this a pesach or is it not? It wasn't yet designated as a pesach.
That's by everybody.
Fine, but the point everybody is, in this case, though, what happens is, in this case, what that makes the difference is, if the son is registered with him, then fine, he can still bring it as a Pesach because the son was already chayev in Pesach. But if not, the reason why it becomes a shlomim is because you would think it's nidcha. There's nothing for it to be nidcha from. It wasn't nidcha because only at Chatzos does it become nidcha, and at Chatzos it wasn't designated as any kind of korban. So it's not nidcha, even if one's a chachamim. Rav Ashi's answer had said that this braisa is only a concept of Shimon. Ravina's answer allows us to say that this braisa is even according to the chachamim. Even though balei chayim nidchin, in this case, if not nidcha, because it wasn't only at chatzos, the moment when it becomes nidcha or not, and at chatzos it wasn't yet designated as a korban.
How could you have nidcha according to him?
So according to him, only if you designated before chatzos could you be talking about is it nidcha at chatzos. If let's say, for example, if let's say the father had died before chatzos and then it was nidcha at that time.
It was nidcha when he died.
Yeah, because if his son wasn't registered with him, then it's left without an own.
But that's when you can.
But if in our case over here, it's not nidcha. So either the son was registered on it as well, and therefore it still keeps its designation as a Pesach, because it was never left without an owner, or the son wasn't registered, and then it lost its status as a Pesach because it was left without an owner. But we don't say it's nidcha. It itself can be brought as a shlomim, because the only time when it would be nidcha is at chatzos. And at chatzos, it hadn't yet been designated as a Pesach. So therefore, Ravina says, therefore it's not for it to be nidcha.
And the father died when?
The father died after chatzos. But the korban itself was only designated after chatzos. If it had been designated before chatzos, and the father died after chatzos, then yeah, we would say it was nidcha.
So when did it get designated?
Again, it was designated Pesach afternoon. Erev Pesach afternoon.
Who designated? The father died.
Doesn't matter. No, the father died. The father at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, he designated as Pesach, and at 2 o'clock he died.
Oh.
Yeah. So we're saying, as long as if the son was registered with him on the same animal, then you can still win as a Pesach. If not, then it becomes a shlomim. Okay. So five different answers.
Only five.
Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says. Mishnah says, HaPesach shenis arev bizvachim. Suppose the korban Pesach gets mixed up with other animals of korbanos. For example, Rashi says, let's say you have three sheep over there. One was a korban Pesach. One was supposed to be an osham. Now, there are certain kinds of osham. There's six different kinds of osham. We know we say every day in davening, Hashem Zelos, Hashem Be'ilos, Hashem Shiftach Harufa, Hashem Nozir, Hashem Tzorda, Hashem Toloi. Some of them are rams. Some of them are an animal in its second year, or after 13 months. Those, obviously, you can't get mixed up with the korban Pesach. But you have a couple of them, the osham of the Nozir, and the Oshim of the Metzora are an animal within its first year. And they're also male animals, so those could be mixed up with the Korban Pesach.
They could be a shepherd or a...
No, those have to be a sheep. Those have to be a sheep, a lamb, and they have to be within a year old, and they have to be male, just like the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach can also be a goat, but it doesn't have to be. Correct. So you have an Oshim then, and then the third one could be an Ola, where an Ola can be any kind of domestic animal. Male, so therefore you could have an animal which was meant for an ola, which is less than a male, which is less than a year, because an ola also has to be a male. Suppose you have a sheep which is less than a year old, that could also be mixed up with the Pesach. So you have a few different kinds of korbanos that could be mixed up together. So what do you do with them? Now you can't say that you bring them as korbanos, because each one has a different way with the blood being applied to the mizbeach. The Pesach, you have Zrika Achas Keneged Ha'Yisoid, Zrika Shvicha, we talked about it earlier in the Masechta, the Osham and the Ola, you have to have Shtei Matronas Shtei Arba. So therefore, what you do is Kulam Yiru Adji Yistavu, so all of them have to be left to graze till they develop a mum, V'yimahu, then you sell them, V'yavi B'dmeha Yofer Shebehen Miminzeh, you use the value of the best one of them for one kind, and the value of the best one for the other kind. In other words, Rashi says like this. Let's say one of those animals was worth a sella. The other two were worth less than a sella. What you need to do is you sell them, then you add extra money so that you have three sloyim over there. Because you don't know. You don't remember which of the three animals was the one that was, which was the one that was the korban Pesach, and which one was the osham, and which one was the ozer. So now what you do is you take a sella of money, now Rashi points out, you can't take the actual money, let's say, that was meant originally for an ola and use it for a Pesach or for an osham. You can't change it from one kind to the other. But what you can do is you can mechalal the money on other money. So you take, now that you sold the animals, you sold the three animals, now you have, let's say, 2.5 sloyim. Now what you do is you take three sloyim, you take three sloyim of money of your own. You say, we take one seller, wherever the money for the oila is, among this 2.5 sloyim that I got from selling these animals, should go, that should be transferred onto the seller, and then you use that seller to buy an animal for an oila. The same thing for the ofchim, the same thing for the pesach. The yafsid, I'm most of me basically, and you lose the rest from your own house. In other words, in our example, let's say you lose half a seller. Because you end up having to bring three animals, each of which is worth a seller, because you don't know. One of them was worth a seller, and you don't know which one. Nis'ar of the Bechoris, what happens if the Korban Pesach was mixed up with a Bechor? Now, at least the Bechor, the blood of it is applied in the same way to the Mizbeach as the Korban Pesach. Both of them, as we say in Ezer Mekoyman, is Matona Achas Keneged Ha'Yisoid. So therefore, so you don't have that problem. You also a Bechor is like a Pesach, in that neither of them do you need Tnufas Chozer Shoyt. You don't need to wave the breast and the thigh and give them to the Kohen. You don't have to do Smicha on them. You don't bring the Sofim with them. So on the face of it, you're good, except for the problem that a Bechor, is eaten only by the Kohenim. And on the one hand, it can only be eaten by the Kohenim. On the other hand, it can be eaten the Shnei Yom of the Laila Ephod, 2 days and the night in between. Whereas the Pesach, on the one hand, can be eaten by everybody, but you can only eat it the Laila Ephod, only on that night. So therefore, Reb Shimon doesn't care about that. He says, Im Chaburas Kohenim Yechelu. If the group is all Kohenim, then they can eat it that night. So in other words, what you do is, you take the two animals that were mixed up, you say, whichever one was the Pesach, then we're bringing it, having in mind if it was the Pesach, that it is the Pesach. Whichever one was the Bechor, we're bringing it, having in mind if this was the Bechor, then it is the Bechor. And then what you do is the Bechor, the Kohenim are eating anyway. And the Pesach also, if it was a group of Kohenim, then they were able to eat it, and there's no problem. The fact that they're reducing the amount of time, as the Gemara is going to say, Reb Shimon doesn't worry about that. Whereas according to the Chachamim, who do worry about that, we're going to have to see in the Gemara what we do according to that.
But if you finish the whole thing, it's no problem.
Fine, but the Chachamim would still say, you're not allowed to do that to begin with. Ein Revi'in Kodshim Leves Hapsul. So the Gemara asks, V'Hokha Maisi Kodshim Leves Hapsul. Don't you have the problem that you're bringing Kodshim to be more likely they're going to become fossil, according to the Shimon, because what are you doing? You're saying that you can only eat this animal that might be a Bechor and might be a Pesach. You're only eating it until Chatzos. And then it becomes noiser. But if it was a Bechor, then you were still supposed to be eating it the whole next day. So why should we do it now? What we should be doing is we should be leaving the animals to graze until they develop a mum. And then the one that was the Pesach will transfer the Kedusha onto money, and that money will be used towards the Shlomim, and the Bechor will eat, because the Bechor Baal Mum, the Kohen of Eat. So why don't we do that? Bechor Baal Mum, the Kohen of Eat. So why don't we do that?
So you don't have.
You don't bring it as a carbon anymore. Yeah, it's a bamun.
There's nothing that goes in a carbon, and nothing that belongs to Mason Dish.
Right. The answer is, well, when it's brought as a carbon, then yeah, when it's brought as a carbon, then they would go on this day. But when it's not brought as a carbon, when a bechor is a bamun, then yeah, the carbon means. The answer is Reb Shimon Latame. Reb Shimon is going according to his own Svara. Reb Shimon says there's no problem. You could allow, Reb Shimon would prefer, it's better, he says, to shorten the amount of time that Kodshim can be eaten rather than saying that you can't bring the korban at all, saying that you can't bring the animals a korban at all and having to send it off to graze. Reb Shimon would rather that the animal is brought as a korban where possible and less time doesn't matter. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Zvachim. Oshem shenis adav v'shlomim. If an animal for an oshem gets mixed up with an animal of shlomim, now a shlomim can be male or female. An oshem is always a male animal, but a shlomim can be male or female, so it's possible for them to get mixed up. Now, both the oshem and the shlomim, the blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach in the same way. Both of them shtei matronas shtei nava. So Reb Shimon omi yishochtu batzofen. So Reb Shimon says you have to shech them both in the north, which is like an osham, meaning if it was a shlomim, the one that's a shlomim, you could shech b'chol mokam bazar. But because it was mixed up with an osham, therefore to be on the safe side, you have to shech them on the north side. That way it'll be kosher either way. But yachlo kachoyim shemahen, and you eat them according to the chumrah of them, meaning you eat them like an osham. Only the male kohenim can eat it. Only l'yoyim v'layla. Only in the Azara, even though if we had known that it was a shlomim, then we could eat it anywhere in Yerushalayim, and men and women could eat it, and Yisraelim could eat it, and so forth, yeah. And you would have shneim v'layla echad. Omru loyim, the Chachamim answered him, no, ein revi'in kodshim leves hapsul. You're not allowed to make that kodshim, that you reduce the amount of time for eating them. Rather, what we do in this case, of the oshim that we mixed up with the shlomim, is we leave them to graze until they develop a mum, and then we use the money to buy a new oshim and a new shlomim. So the question is, in that case, in our Mishnah, Rabbanon Heichi Avdinon knew that according to the Rabbanon, what do we do in the case of our Mishnah? Amar Rava, Namtin Loyav Shiyomu. Now, the problem is, the reason why we're asking is like this. A Pesach, no problem. You can be Poyder a Pesach once it develops a mum, just like most Kodshim. A Bechor, you can't be Poyder. So you can't say you leave the animals to graze until they develop a mum, and then you're going to sell them both and use the money towards a Pesach and towards a Bechor, because you can't. You can't transfer the Yusha of a Bechor onto money. Loy Sifter Koyder, Shem, the Pesach says. So what do you do? According to the Chachamim. You wait until they develop a mum. Then you take a fat animal, meaning an animal that's equal in quality to the better of the two animals, because again, you don't know which one was the Pesach and which one was the Bechor. The Lema, you say, kol hecha the isev a Pesach, wherever the Pesach is among these animals that got mixed up, tochol alei dehai, let the kedusha of that go onto this animal, or onto this money, which then we'll use to buy an animal. Then you use the money to buy a shlomim, like you would with any case of Moshe Pesach, and the ocheloh b'tardes b'chor b'amum, and you eat both animals as if they were b'chor b'amum. I said before the kohenim eat it. Actually, that's not completely true. Yisraelim are allowed to eat a b'chor b'amum as well. It's the property of the kohen, but once the kohen has it, he can give the meat to whoever he wants. However, there are rules as far as b'chor b'amum. You're not allowed to sell the meat in the marketplace in the usual way, and you're not allowed to weigh it in the usual way. We learned in Bechoris, and the reason is because most Kodshim, when you're poyed to them, the money of them goes to Hektish. The money of them is used to buy another Korban. But a Bechor Baal Mum, and for that matter also Maisa Sheni, if you sell them, you sell the meat, the money does not go to Hektish. The money is Korban. It belongs to the Korban. So therefore, there's no reason. So therefore, we don't want to allow, because of the zoyin of kodshim, we don't want it to allow to have it sold in the usual way and to be weighed in the usual way, because it's not like hektish is going to make any profit from it. With other kobanis, we want, go ahead and sell the meat in the marketplace, etc. At least that way, it'll sell for a higher price, and that way hektish will get more money out of it. But like this, when it's only going to the kohen, then we don't do that. So therefore, in this case, what we do is, again, according to the chachamim, you transfer the kedusha of the Pesach onto a new animal or onto new money, which is going to be used to buy an animal, and you use that for a shlomim. Now you take both animals and you eat them as if they were both a bechor baal mum, namely, fine, they're the kohen's property. Anybody can eat. The kohen can give them to eat to whoever he wants, but he can't sell the meat in the usual way and he can't weigh it in the usual way. Okay. Mishnah says.
If it's a carbon paste, that means you have to eat it.
No, so now it's not a carbon paste anymore. We wait because it got mixed up with the bechor. Therefore, we send it off to graze until it and the other one develop a mum.
So you eat it at the same time as a baal mum.
Again, a bechor baal mum.
It's only if it's
one time. A bechor baal mum. There's no limitation on how long you can eat it.
Because
it's not even macro, right? The only difference is that you can't weigh it. You can't weigh it. You can't sell it in the normal way. Okay, Mishnah says. Chavura she'ovad pischa. If a group of people lost their korban pesach, v'amru le'echad, so they tell one member of their group, say uvakish u'shchoit alim, go look for the animal and find it and shecht it for us. V'holach u'motz v'shochat, so he went and ended up finding the animal and shechting it. Meanwhile, they figured they didn't hear from him. So they were getting worried. It's getting late in the day. V'heim lochu v'shochtu, so they got another animal and they shecht. Now, the problem is that now he and they are, on the face of it, they're registered on two Korbanos Pesach. Now a person can only be registered for one Korban Pesach. So what do we do? Im shaloi nishchatushin. Now remember, they made him their shliach. So if the one that he shechted was shechted first, then the din is, hu oichol mishaloi, he can eat from that one, no problem, because he shechted it. Now remember, The key thing to remember in this case is you have the two animals. You have animal A, which is the one that was lost and then he found. You have animal B, which is the one that they took for themselves. Keep in mind, both of them, in effect, are still registered for A. Because they didn't say when they bought B, you know what, forget about A, we're not registered for anymore. They're still keeping. When he shefted, he's still doing it on behalf of them. So now, in effect, they have two different Korbanos Pesach that they're registered for. He doesn't have a problem. He's only registered for the one. He wasn't there when they chose animal B, so therefore he's not registered for that one.
But The shliach of Kalah could have had a third one.
No, we're saying he found the original one we're talking about. He found the original one. He found animal A, the shliach. Yeah. So therefore, he's registered only for that one.
Even if he's a shliach, who said he was registered for it?
He was. We're talking about it. He was a member of the group. He was a member of the group, and they sent him in. So who oichel mishaloi? So he eats from the one that he shechted, which is animal A. Behem oichlim imem mishaloi. They also eat together with him from that one because they're still registered for that. Because again, they sent him as a shliach, and they never undid his shlichus. And what happens to the second one, meanwhile, the one that they shechted is left without any owner, therefore that one gets burned. That one is a Pesach that was shechted as that was possible, and therefore it gets burned. The im shalahen nishchatushen, on the other hand, if theirs was shechted first, heim oichem mishalahen, v'hu oichem mishalai, then they divide up. Then they eat theirs, they eat animal B, and he eats A, because he was never registered for B, so there's no problem. So they shechted B first, so that means therefore they were nikba with B, so therefore they eat from that one. He can't eat from B, but fine, he doesn't need to. He has A, and he eats from that one. So both of them end up getting B.
Obviously, this is all both after Chatzos.
Well, that's only shechted after Chatzos, yeah. The im ein yadua ezimahem nishchatushin. What if we don't know which one was shechted first? Oish shochtu shneim te'achot. Or what if both of them shechted at the same time, where we have a concept in halacha called e efshel tzamtzim, that says, actually have machlokes in a few places, whether efshel tzamtzim or e efshel tzamtzim, but the point is, when we say that both of them happen at the same time, the pashtus, it means one of them happened a microsecond before the other one. So the fact is, one was shechted first, but we don't know which one was shechted first. Therefore, who oichom shalai? Either way, though, he doesn't have a problem. He can eat from his, because manafshach, in either case, he was going to be eating from the one that he shechted anyway, because he was never registered for the other one. Veheim einam oichlim imai. They cannot eat with him, because maybe theirs was shechted first, and that means that they were registered for that second one, and that means it undid their registration for the first one. The one that they shechted has to be gone, taken out to be burnt, because maybe his was shechted first. The whole rest of the group is potter from making Pesach Sheni, because Rashi says, no matter what, they were registered at some point for that first one. So therefore, either they were registered for theirs, but either way, a valid carbon Pesach was brought on their behalf. The fact that they can't eat it, we say, achila loy ma'akva, the fact that they can't eat it is not ma'akva. Now, Tosfos points out, one second, didn't we have the case, we had a case earlier where a person sent his Eved to shech the carbon Pesach for him, and he told him a sheep, or he told him a goat, and the Eved forgot which one, and the master also forgot which one. Then we said that it depends whether he remembers before Shchita, depends whether he forgot before or after Shchita, or before after Zrika, rather. We said that if he forgot before Zrika, then he is chayav to make Pesach Sheni. So why all of a sudden over here are we saying as a blanket statement that the second group is potter from making Pesach Sheni? So Tosfos says that it's not the same thing. But Tosfos doesn't elaborate why it's not the same thing. Tosfos just says, you should know it's not the same thing, but without giving any detail why it shouldn't be the same.
So the shliach didn't remember which one
he... In the case we had on Daf Peches Amud Beis, we had the case that the master told the Eved, go shech a sheep on my behalf. The Eved forgot whether he was meant to be a sheep or a goat. So then what we said was, that he shechts a sheep and a goat, and he says, whichever one was supposed to be my master's will be my master's, and whichever one is not will be my own. We had the case over there where the shepherd gives him two animals, saying, Amunas, that your master won't have the shurs in this, and therefore it belongs to you. But then we said, what happens when he comes back? It turns out the master himself forgot what he said, whether he had said a sheep or a goat. So now we don't know whose Pesach is whose. So we say that both of them have to be burnt, because we don't know which one can eat which one, and both of them are potter from making Pesach Sheni. But the Gemara said over there that only if we make a distinction, we said in the Gemara over there, whether he forgot before or after Zrika. We said that if he forgot only after Zrika, so at the time of the Zrika, it was a valid Zrika, only later he forgot, then we say he's potter. But if he already forgot before the Zrika, so the Eved comes back and tells him, the Zrika of this Torah was done at 3 o'clock, and the master says, oh, babe, by 2 o'clock already, I'd forgotten what time, which one was supposed to be. Then he says, chayev to bring Pesach Sheni. Now, here in our Mishnah, we're not making any such distinction. So why not? So Tosfos just says, the short Tosfos over here, you can see in the middle of the Amud, just says it's not the same. Loy dum. Tosfos doesn't explain why it's not the same. So Marsha says that taka, why not? Why indeed? Yesh la'ayin bazeh. Why indeed? Is it not the same? So on the bottom of Marsha, Kauni Re'im says, the difference is, in that case, the Ebed himself forgot to begin with. The whole problem began because the Ebed forgot which one his master told him to bring. Therefore, it means, like, he changed his shlichus. So if the master remembers which one it was supposed to be, then good. At least it's not so bad. But if both of them forgot, now you have the shlichus is bottled. Over here, you don't have any of that. Over here, they weren't mevatel the guy's shlichus. Therefore, there's a difference. Therefore, that would be the distinction. And therefore, we would say over here that the first person can eat. The second, the rest of the group, though, we're saying is always going to be potter from Pesach Sheni.
Because
both of them had a valid carbon brought on their behalf. The fact that we don't know which one was brought first is not enough of a reason to be mechayev them in Pesach Sheni. Unlike in the case over there where he forgot before Zrika and the Zrika itself was done invalidly, then we would say that they have to bring Pesach Sheni.
For the first case, they're not eat it, right?
So in the case of our Mishnah, what we're saying is we don't know which one was shechted first. So they both shechted at the same time. We're saying he can eat the one that he shechted, animal A. The rest of them cannot eat either one. They can't eat A because B might have been shechted first, and then it means that B is their korban. They can't eat B because A might have been shechted first, and then A is their korban and B is not. Therefore, they're stuck. They can't eat either one. Therefore, B has to be burned. A doesn't have to be burned because he can eat it. No problem. But the rest of them are potter from Pesach Sheni.
And we mentioned a family member cannot, for some reason, eat his carbon. The rest of the family cannot eat.
Only if they were registered. If they're registered, then fine. But if they weren't registered, like this, the whole group sent him to find the carbon Pesach and shechted it. So now, meanwhile, they took another animal and shechted it. So the rest, if theirs was shechted first, we say they're all now, they withdrew from the first one and registered for the second one instead. Therefore, the second one is the one they eat. But if we don't know which one was shechted first, we can't allow them to eat that second one, because what if they were still registered for the first one, and the first one was the one that was shechted first?
But in general, let's say a father became, I know, if something happens, then he personally can't eat it. The rest of the family is not.
As long as they were registered, sure, they can eat it. Yeah. Okay. Next case in the Mishnah, Omalahen im echauti tzur shachtu alai. What about the other way around? If he tells them, so they send him. So and now let's say they didn't explicitly tell him to go and find it. Let's say he volunteers. He says, you know what? I'm going to go find it. And he says, if I'm late, if I don't manage to find it in time, then you go shech for me. So now it's the other way around. They didn't make him their shliach. He made them his shlochim. So now, holachol motzer v'shocha, now if he went and found the animal and shechted it, behem loch v'shochtu, they went meanwhile and took a different animal and shechted it, having him in mind as well. So now it's the opposite. Im shalahen nishchatushen, if their animal was shechted first, hein ochlim mishalahen, then they eat from that one, because they were registered for that, but hu ochlimahen, he can eat together with them, because they shechted on his behalf. The im shaloi nishchatushen, if the one that he shechted was shechted first, hu ochlim mishaloi, he can still eat from that one, because by shechting that one first, it means that now he's registered for that one. The hein ochlim mishalahem, they can still eat from theirs. It's fine. He withdrew from their group. So he has his own and they have their own. The im enya dua ezeman nishhatushin, if we don't know which one was shechted first, or both of them shechted at the same time, then it's the opposite of the first case. Hein ochlim mishalahem, they can eat theirs because monafshah, they are registered for theirs, no question about it. He cannot eat with them because we're not sure which one was shechted first. Was A shechted first and therefore he can eat from A, or was B shechted first and he wasn't, and then he's registered for B. So which one can he eat? We're not sure. So he can't eat with them. The one that he shechted has to be taken out to be burnt because it's left without an owner. Because he might have been registered for B and then A is left without an owner.
even though he shechted it, so his head was towards the one who shechted.
But nevertheless, if theirs was shechted first, then that preempts that. Right. If he had explicitly withdrawn, if he had said, you know what, forget it, I'm not in your group anymore, I'm just going to go find that one, shecht it for myself, that's different. What we're saying over here, he got up and said, I volunteer to go find the animal, but if I'm late, shecht on my behalf. So that means he still is including himself in their group. And again, he's potter from making Pesach Sheni for the same reason as previously, because we don't know, because again, just because he can't eat it, the fact that he can't eat it is not ma'akiv, and therefore he's potter from Pesach Sheni.
He can't eat both of them.
So he can't eat either one, right, because we don't know which one was shechted first. Yeah. Third case, Amalahen v'omrumoi, what happens if both of them said to each other, they told him, go find the animal and shecht it for us. He told them, and if I'm late, then you shecht for me. So now they each made each other shluchim. So now, Eichlin Kulan in addition. So then they all eat from whichever one is shechted first. Now we don't have the cases like before where in some cases each of them are going to be eating separately. Now they're all registered for whichever one is shechted first. And the Eni Yadura Ezeman Nishchat Rishon. And if we don't know which one was shechted first, Shnei and Yotz Leves Hashecha, then both of them are Kibur. The fourth case, Loi Omer Lahen, Loi Omer Loi. If
they have to bring it home, Sheni.
The Pashtus now. The Pashtus, they're still part of Pesach Sheni in that case. For the same reason, because Achila Loi Ma'ak, because the fact that they can't eat it doesn't matter. A valid Korban Pesach was shechted on their behalf. We just don't know which one it was. So the Lechem Mishnah, the Rambam also talks about it a little bit, by the way. He says, I mean, usually the Rambam Paschal's Achila is Ma'akiv. We had a Machloikis before, whether if you bring a Korban Pesach when you're not going to be able to eat it, then we said it is Ma'akiv. We had, for example, the opinion of Reb Nosson that said the whole Jewish people can join in one Korban Pesach, but the Halacha is not like him. On the other hand, so how can we say over here, Achila Loi Ma'akiv? So the Lechem Mishnah makes a distinction somewhat similar to what the Kaonir Ein says, about there's a difference over there in the case of the Eved over there, where to begin with the Korban was not brought validly because he didn't know that he was registered for it, versus in this case it was brought validly. It's just after the fact we find out we don't know which one was shechted first. Okay. The fourth case of the Mishnah, Loi Amar Lahen V'Loi Amru Loi, what if they didn't tell him anything and he didn't tell them anything? Meaning that Rambam says, even let's say, for example, they're making noises or they're winking or they're making with their fingers or whatever, but they never actually said to him, go find and shecht it for us. And he never told them, if I'm late, go shecht it for me. So they all know what's going on, but even without saying, Ein Achroin, Zalazev, and they're not Achrayas for each other, they have no Achrayas for each other. Meaning, in other words, then there's no problem. He can eat the one that he shechted, they can eat the one that they shechted, nobody has to burn their Korban Pesach, nobody has to bring Pesach Sheni, we're all good. Another case, Shtei Chavoras Shenis Arvo Pischein. Maybe we should leave this for tomorrow. It is a short Omer tomorrow, so maybe, yeah.
Until here? Tomorrow?
What? No, well, we have tomorrow, we have such session with Aleph and Omer Beis, but both of them are fairly short. So I'm thinking maybe we'll leave the rest of the Mishnah for tomorrow as well.
You know what's ahead, I have no idea what's coming.
let's do that. We'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem.
Because we'll know the Mishnah. Okay.